The Ascension, October 18, 1899. Typed. The hour of Christ's apparent defeat was the hour of his victory. The great plan, devised before the foundations of the earth were laid, was successfully carried out in the death of Christ. Ere the Sabbath began, Christ was at rest in the tomb. The furious storm of opposition had raged about him. The torrent of satanic hatred had revealed itself against him. But his great sacrificial work was completed. He had offered himself to God as a lamb without blemish and without spot, and in the tomb of Joseph he rested. Here his hands were folded in peace. A great stone was rolled before the door of the sepulchre that no one might disturb the body. After their work of creation, the Father and the Son rested. When the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and God had ended his work which he had made, he rested on the seventh day. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested. Genesis 2, verse 3. The death of Christ was designed to be at the very time when it took place. It was in God's plan that the work which Christ had engaged to do should be completed on the sixth day of the week, and that on the Sabbath he should rest, even as the Father and the Son had rested after completing the work of creation. The day following Christ's burial, the chief priests and Pharisees came to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." So they went, and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. Matthew 27, verse 63-66. The Roman guard was not the only army stationed at the grave of the Savior. Evil angels were also there, triumphing that the Son of God was laid low in the grave. And a host of heavenly angels were watching the sepulchre which held the body of their loved commander. While the Roman soldiers were keeping their weary watch, a mighty angel was commissioned to come down and roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre. Clothed with the panoply of heaven, the angel parted the darkness from his track and came to the grave of Christ. Their stone, placed at the mouth of the cave, had been sealed with the Roman seal. But the angel rolled it away as though it were a pebble. Then he took his seat upon it. Other angels, who had been guarding the resting place of Christ, now came to the grave, and when the Son of God came forth from his prison house, a triumphant conqueror, they bowed in adoration before him. At the mighty earthquake which shook the earth when Christ on the cross cried out, "It is finished," many of the graves of the sleeping saints were opened. Now when the conqueror comes forth from the tomb, these saints arise with him. When the glorious light of the angels came upon the Roman guard, they fell as dead men to the earth. They had not the power to stand, but they were permitted to see Jesus come forth from the tomb. As soon as they could gather strength, they hastened from the garden to relate to the Roman authorities all that had taken place. The chief priests and rulers, hearing of their intentions, requested that the men be first brought to them. The soldiers related all that they had seen and heard, and the rulers, when they had counseled together, gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. Matthew 28, verse 12-15. But did the evil work triumph? No, the multitude of captives, who rose from the dead with Christ, went into the city and appeared to many, testifying to many that Christ was risen from the dead, and that they had been called from the grave by his power. When Christ ascended on high, he led captivity captive. For 40 days he was in the world in his risen body. Then he ascended to heaven, escorted by a myriad of angels. As Christ and the multitude of captives draw near to the heavenly city, the cry is raised, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." The sentinel angels at the gate of the city ask, Who is this King of glory? And the answer comes, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Again the sentinel angels inquire, Who is the King of glory? And again the reply is given, The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Then the pearly gates are thrown open, and the train passes into the city. As Christ enters, angels rank on every side to worship him, but he waves them back. He must first hear from the lips of his Father that his sacrifice is accepted. And he has a request to prefer. He presents himself before the Father. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. John 17, verse 24. The Father accepts the sacrifice and grants the request. Let all the angels of God worship him, he says. Hebrews 1, verse 6. Then the angels bow in adoration before the King of glory, and their songs of triumph make heaven's arches ring. Glory, majesty, and power, they sing, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Revelation 5, verse 13. Christ ascended to heaven a conqueror. He had finished the work which from the foundation of the world he had covenanted to do. By his death and resurrection, he had broken the spell of the destroyer. He had opened the prison house and set the captives free. He carried with him to heaven his human nature, thus making man partaker in his triumph. No other truth could give humanity such assurance as this. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4, verse 15. As the Son of Man, he ascended to heaven. As man's advocate, he pleads before the Father in behalf of those whom he has left upon the earth. Father, he says, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the world. John 17, verse 24. It is court week with us. A risen and ascended Savior pleads our case before the Father. The intercessor, the Son of Man, holds in his hands the censer of his own merits, and gathering the prayers and praises of his people, he presents them to the Father as a sweet savor well-pleasing to him.